Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Freedom Foil podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe, and I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Mary.
Well, we're leaving it in.
I totally flubbed up that first part there.
I like it. It shows that we're human.
We are human. Episode 24. Holy crap, guys. We have a second episode within the span of like 6 months. This is crazy.
That's insane. They actually tried a little bit.
Actually, I think it's just 2 weeks since our last episode.
Yeah, we skipped last week. So, yeah,
so,
2 weeks.
Hey, we're doing better than the last time, and we are trying. Okay.
People don't want to hear the sob stories. I know whenever I listen to a podcast, I'm like, shut up.
Well, you know, hey, we're trying.
Hey, but if you're actually on the other side of this and you're like, I feel bad for them, thank you.
That's very true.
But I usually am not.
Well, there are links down in the description so that you can actually read for yourself all this stuff that we are talking about. And we seriously recommend you do the research and just kind of learn about these topics.
Go down the rabbit hole. It's a fun time.
Go down the rabbit hole.
Because I'll tell you what, with this particular topic, we didn't even scratch the surface. I think because we've, in the past, with these kinds of CIA episodes, we've kind of... I think a little too much research, and we kind of tripped over ourselves a little bit. So yeah. So definitely do your own.
We're just kind of skimming the surface a little bit on this. We are like 2 followers away, I think, still on the freaking Instagram account.
Joe cracks me up though, because I'm like, man, we're only 2 away. Like, why can't we get 2 more? He's like, we don't post anything. I'm like, well, that's pretty accurate.
That's true. But God, I mean, like, make a fake account. Do something. Follow
us.
Get us to 200 and we will do a live stream.
Live streams are a good time, and you get to see our beautiful faces.
Yeah, yeah. And I even have another episode planned for hopefully next week. We'll see.
Give Joe some credit right here. He is leading the charge, guys.
I appreciate
that.
If
it weren't for Joe, this podcast would have died.
Well,
a slow and painful death.
I try. This is definitely a lot of fun, and we want to keep it fun. I think that's the tough part, is sometimes when you're trying to do something like this, it can quickly become not fun.
Well, I think at the beginning, we were very, very hard on ourselves. And I think, like I said, we would overindulge, I would say, in the research. And we'd do like 10 articles, and the research would take like days. And then it'd be like stressful to fit it in. So I think the way we're doing it now is we find like 2 to 3 really, really solid articles.
Yeah.
Just kind of get familiar with the topic. 9 times out of 10, Joe's already familiar with the topic, so he can kind of fill in the blanks where we need. But
well,
it's been working.
And we also had a little bit of writer's block there for a bit, if you will, of like trying
to... Oh, I have no
idea.
You're the one that comes up with the topics.
Yeah, well, for me, and I, like, for a while, I just, like, I don't know, you start, like, running out of topics.
Totally.
You know? Like,
I mean, it's easy to do.
Yeah, you start looking around, and as we've mentioned before, like, a lot of stuff, like, you're like, oh, that's a great topic, and then when you try to be like, can we talk about this for a half an hour
yes.
or 45 minutes, it's like, there's just nothing there, you know?
Like, exactly, like, sometimes you're ever in a conversation with your friend, you're like, did you hear about that, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And then that 3-4 sentences is all you can get.
That's it. And I think a lot of YouTube pages that, like, are conspiracy-related, they really try to, like, embellish on this stuff.
Yeah.
Just to get views. And, you know, for us, I feel like we always got to try to stay true.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're genuinely doing this just for our own enjoyment, for your enjoyment. Like, we're not doing this to make money. We don't make any money. And we're just, this is just a fun hobby.
So,
but speaking of a cool topic,
I thought you were about to say, speaking of a fun hobby.
Oh, no, this is
Operation Midnight Climax.
Yeah, another CIA episode, which the last CIA episode we did, I believe, was MK Ultra, and you guys really loved. Oh, like operational. We did the CIA animal one,
which you liked.
That was freaking hilarious. If you guys listen to that episode, I couldn't keep it together. I was dying.
If you want a funny episode, like, where you can just laugh with us, go check out the Animal Spies.
Can I just
episode.
Say though, that made me think, like, when I listen to podcasts, other podcasts, that I'm like going on a walk or something and I laugh, I feel crazy. Like,
you look crazy.
People see me and I'm like laughing and I'm like, I look like a psychopath right now. But that one, man, that episode made me freaking giggle. That was funny.
Midnight Climax is exactly how it sounds. for the most part. And Mary was like, I was coming up with the topic and I was like, oh, we're going to do Midnight Climax. She's like, oh, I can't wait to hear the jokes about that one. I'm like, no, it's not jokes. It's totally sexual. So
I think I said, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that one. I can already tell by the name that's going to be an interesting one or something like that. Which the CIA stuff usually is.
Yes.
And actually, I personally find the CIA stuff, particularly from like 40s to the 70s, I would say, pretty interesting just because
it is interesting.
Just because of the like utter freedom they had to basically do whatever the F they wanted.
Well, and, you know, I think a lot of the stuff.
I just said F.
Whatever the F. Yeah.
Whatever
F,
the F
dude.
They wanted to do. You know what? So, screw it. I'm not going to swear this episode. Let's see if I can do it.
What are you talking about?
Fuck. Ah, damn it.
Well, when you're looking at it, but when you and when you
I thought you were messing up. I'm like, "Oh no."
When you're looking at that time, I love it because they put it all out there in the open. And the reason why they do that is because they say, look, they were really bad back then.
Not anymore, though.
But no, like,
yeah, exactly.
After the 70s, it all went away.
Yeah,
you know?
they got really strict. And
I'm like, okay, all right.
No, you just got really good at covering it up.
Right.
Because you had messed up in the past and you had learned from that mistake.
And the biggest conspiracy is look at what they were doing then and just imagine with the technology increases what they're doing now.
I think it's, we talk about this all the time when we watch like serial killer documentaries or whatever, like the Jeffrey Dahmers or the Ted Bundy's.
And they're all tied to
MKUltra. Well, no, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say, it was like back then, it was so much easier, I feel like, to get away with stuff like this and MKUltra and things like that. Because it was
so government level.
Well, right, because it was so secretive. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have, again, I think I talk about this a lot. It's like the only means of communication was radio and newspapers. Yeah. And like, and also people were genuinely, we'll get into it, but if you listen to MKUltra, like people that were suffering through this were like genuinely embarrassed to, I feel like back then there was this way about people where like they never wanted to look like they didn't have their shit together. It was always like one big happy family, like mom, dad, two kids in the suburbs. Like they never wanted to let the cracks show. They never wanted to like, that was the wrong thing to say. You know what I mean?
Let the ass crack out. No, like, I think...
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And I think you're right on the money. And I also believe that at this time, they were able to seriously abuse patriotism. And especially... So there's a lot of other conspiracies on how the Cold War was essentially completely fabricated. Like, and we were in unison with Russia to just control the world. And, you know, make this war where there was not even a shot fired... But we were able to do all these crazy things to civilians. And that
sounds familiar.
Right. That's exactly what the CIA was doing at this time with quote unquote communists. Like they were able to do all of these really fucked up programs.
We're doing this because of communism.
Right.
We're protecting you.
Because, hey, you know, the communists are doing this, so we can't let them do it. So therefore, somehow, what makes sense is we need to violate the shit out of your rights.
It totally reminds me, we're rewatching Stranger Things right now. We will not give anything away, but what a great show.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and like... And such a good peek into, like, the if it were, you know...
Well, that's based off of a bunch of CIA stuff with Montauk, which is a little bit of a...
We did that episode.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
I don't know that we did.
We did, yes.
Really?
Yes, I distinctly remember talking about it.
No, I think we touched on it. I don't think we did a whole episode on
There was something on a ship, about a ship, that, like...
That was the Philadelphia experiment.
Okay, then we talked about Montauk in that.
Yeah. Because
there was a whole article I remember about Stranger Things and like
how they had the
connection to
there,
it. But
there was something tied in there for sure.
But regardless, that I think the show does a great job of portraying like, oh, if they're doing it, then we need to do it. Or like, you know, whatever, communists, I mean.
Right.
So
give us a lowdown. We got some familiar characters in this one coming back around for another shitstorm.
And probably one of my the most interesting topics, which is like Wormwood and like MKUltra and stuff, I think ties into this as well, obviously.
Mr. Sidney Gottlieb.
Yeah, you actually give us a high level. I'm not good at that.
What?
You give us the high level overview.
The
of
high
this
level?
One.
Like, you mean highlight? Or
like
what
the
do you
two
mean?
Sentence, what's
two
the
sentence
deal?
Thing. So, around the 50s, okay, this was established, which was Project MK Ultra. Now, this that we're talking about, Operation Midnight Climax, was like a side hustle, if you will, of MK Ultra. And at this time, Sidney Gottlieb and a few other high level ranking people in the Federal Bureau of Narcotics and also the CIA, including the OSS, which mm-hmm. is like the British version of the CIA, essentially, if I remember right. And they were trying to mess with, their reasoning was, hey, the Russians are doing it, so we need to do it too. They were trying to mess with mind-altering drugs, primarily LSD, as truth serums to relieve, or not relieve,
but get people to
say information that they otherwise wouldn't. And then also
with the idea that they would be using it on communists and
right.
other people they would.
Right. Yeah. And then they would also do these things to try to see if they could actually mind control people, actually get them to do things that they otherwise would not do. Now, Midnight Climax was utilizing all of those techniques in MK Ultra and sex on top of that.
Right.
And they essentially made CIA run and funded brothels all over the country where they would have filming going on behind two-way glass, and they would give these drugs to unknowing people and then try to have the prostitutes at that point give them, like, you know, mind altering techniques.
Solid two sentences. Good job.
That was like 10 minutes. So,
I think that's a good overview. And I think just starting with the history of it all, as Joe mentioned, this operation consisted of a web of CIA run safe houses, they called them, in San Francisco and New York City. I believe they started.
You do a much better job at the overview. Why'd you have me do that?
I actually enjoyed your overview. Really did. Because I think you did need to, like, if people are coming into this completely blind, like I did with MK Ultra, like, it's good to know kind of the basics. So I think you did a great job there. But, I think the first one started, the first safe house was in San Francisco, followed by New York City. So Operation Midnight and MK Ultra were considered to be so secretive that few people knew that even Gottlieb existed, let alone that he was conducting these experiments, which again just ties back to how secretive all of this was and how easy it was. It's like people couldn't snap a picture of with their phone of him walking into the safe house in San Francisco. Like, it's very secretive, very, very, like, high-level stuff. And some senior officers in the CIA knew enough about him to connect his work with LSD. So they didn't even have this, like, straightforward, he's doing it, but they kind of had an idea.
Which I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody had to have known. The thing is, I think, this is my opinion about, like, who knew. I think a small group probably knew that were higher than Gottlieb. And gave him permission, and they tried to keep it as quiet as possible, but they knew from the get-go what they were going to be doing.
Well, I think there's two possibilities. I think one is that they purposefully kept everyone in the shadows so that even if they wanted to blow the roof off of everything and, you know, just tell the world, they couldn't because they didn't have the information. But I also think the other very real possibility is the CIA has a tendency of saying, hey, look, that guy was the bad guy, but all of us, we're good. We're good. Not doing any of that crazy stuff. But
we'll get into it, and I don't think that happened with this. But we'll get into
all
that.
Right, okay.
So moving on to, like, the objectives and the methodology behind the actual experiments themselves. Yeah. So, of course, as Joe mentioned, they established these experiments, to study the effects of LSD on non-consenting individuals. They used prostitutes, actually, on the CIA payroll,
mind
you.
This gets so frustrating for me.
And they were instructed to lure clients back to the safe houses in San Francisco and New York City, where they were
Surreptitiously?
I feel like that's one of those words where it's very obvious what it is.
CRL.
And we can't say... seriously.
I mean, I'm not even going to try to pretend like I know what that word
means. Yeah, I think what they're trying to say is they were lured back to these safe houses, and that obviously were the safe houses where they were given a bunch of these, you know, a wide range of substances, including LSD, and monitored by that one-way glass. Obviously, prostitutes are prostitutes, so they were instructed...
To have sexual relations.
I did not have sexual... But yeah, so they were instructed in the use of, why can't I read today? Questioning.
Post-coital?
Yeah, coital questioning to investigate whether the victim could be convinced.
Isn't coital some sexual, like,
I don't know.
You're in coitus or something.
I think
shit
what
like
they're
that?
Trying to say, I think they're I also trying to say is they were, they had to kind of vet the participants out.
Yeah.
So before they would even give them the substances, or maybe when they first gave them the substances, the prostitutes were trained to kind of see if they would be easily questioned, or if they could easily get information out of them, or convinced involuntarily to reveal these secrets.
Yeah.
But the victims, however, were sometimes fed subliminal messages in attempts to induce them into these involuntary actions, including criminal activity such as robbery, assault, and assassination. So you're telling me...
Hold up.
So yeah, we're going to protect you from the communists by making normal everyday citizens. We're going to lure them back to this safe house, give them a bunch of drugs that they haven't consented to, and we're
have
going
prostitutes
to...
prostitutes have sex with them.
Right. And then we're going to try to get them to do crimes, including murder.
Assassination and murder. Yeah.
And then that takes you all the way back to the Kennedy assassination.
It takes you back
to everything.
All the serial killers, all the crazy shit.
Because this shit was going on. This shit went on for how many years? From the 54 till like,
well, they
what,
say,
67?
They say, whatchamacallit, to the 70s?
Well,
I
know that the both of the safe houses were closed by 1966. So they say.
So they say.
It's like crazy to me. It's like...
Well, and a lot of the time, they stop one operation and then open up immediately another operation under a different name.
It's
so,
like, they always
like
have
MK
like...
Ultra went to MK Search.
Well, wait, what was Operation based on interrogation methods research under Project Artichoke?
That was another thing of MK Ultra where they were looking at just interrogation. We should also mention, too, this is what I thought was interesting. So I personally don't have any experience with psychedelic drugs. That's never something that I delved into in my crazy...
I, however, do not either. People that know me would be like, what is she saying?
In my crazy teen years. But I have talked to a lot of people that have dabbled quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting because I asked them, you know, LSD or acid, their experiences with it and what it was like and all these things. And we started to get into the fact that, like, usually what people do on, you know, recreational use of LSD and acid is like micro dosing compared to what the CIA did.
Right.
Like, it's like a very low dose or a normal dose, and people still have a pretty freaking crazy time, right?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still LSD. Like,
right. The CIA did like 5 times the dose of what was usually done on the market. Like, you're talking about a dose that could permanently
alter
mess your mind up, like, and ruin your chemical balance in your mind for the rest of your life.
Well, it did.
Right.
It did too, and I'll point that out now because I don't think it comes up anywhere else.
Yeah.
But if you've seen the documentary, I'll name it again: Wormwood on Netflix.
It is a really good documentary.
Yeah, it talks about, I believe his name was Frank.
Can't remember.
I don't remember his last name, but Wormwood is the documentary. But the documentary is
Frank
his.
Frank Olson.
Yeah, Frank Olson. He was a CIA chemist, I believe.
Yeah.
And they pulled him into this experiment and drugged him involuntarily. He didn't know he was beginning to be drugged. And they did it over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And they just go through this documentary about how many times they really, like, drugged this guy. And if you're saying the levels that they're doing are so much higher, imagine just over and over.
Well, and
so then this guy, then just starts acting weird to his family. His family is the one talking in this documentary.
Right.
Starts acting very strange at home, doing weird things.
Yeah.
Not very, like, talkative as he used to be. Like, he's just not being himself. And then one night he mysteriously gets called out to New York City, I believe.
Yeah, and just decides to
jump out
of a window.
Come on. Like, come on. Even if he did jump out of the window. Yeah. I'm just saying, leading up to that, that's where your mind is altered.
Well, and it says even in here that a lot of the Midnight Climax operational people that were in on this were like voluntarily taking drugs.
Well, no, yeah, I was just going to say many of the CIA operatives involved in these experiments voluntarily indulged in the drugs and prostitutes for recreational purposes.
Nice. Yeah.
So, but what the guy we're talking about, Frank Olson, did not.
Yeah. And I mean, you like I said, I asked my friends who have dabbled quite a bit in this that they remember like acid or LSD is seriously nothing to mess around with. Like, it's not really a natural thing. And that's kind of the difference where they were comparing it to other psychedelics. And other psychedelics, you know, mushrooms, other things, are more natural, if you will, in a sense, where LSD, like, they remember kids getting strung out.
Comes from the ground, man.
Yeah. They were getting kids that were, you know, strung out on acid. And I mean, just like messed up, like completely just depressed all the time, like in a foggy mental state.
It sounds like another
forever.
Pandemic that happened,
right?
With what's the drug called? That
crack?
No.
Crack.
No.
The CIA did do the crack epidemic.
I know. What I'm talking about is
crack.
Opioids. Opioids.
The opioids. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that was a huge thing, which I still need to watch that show on that with Batman in it.
What frustrates the shit out of me is, like, we were paying for this.
Well, no.
Like, not us at this time. Like, this is government funded.
Yeah,
Watch your profanities.
They were finding drugs that could incapacitate entire buildings via poisoned food, which would create confusion, anxiety, and fear, and other symptoms such as headaches and earaches.
Yeah.
Tested was the effect of combining LSD and isolation, where the subjects would be dosed and isolated for months at a time with minimal food or water.
And on top of that, like, you have essentially, I remember them in reading in this, they said that they would just, any drugs that they like weren't unsure what they would do, they would just send them to the safe house and get them to just...
No, but what I'm saying is I think they tried this in small doses in actual, like, real-life public situations.
They did. There were conspiracies that they drugged the whole fucking town.
Well, I mean, think about that one X-Files episode, which, you know, obviously...
X-Files is legit. I almost said le-shit, and that just made it even better.
Le-shit.
It is legit because people don't realize that X-Files touches on, like, a lot of legitimate...
Has a very, very soft spot in his heart,
dude,
for X-Files.
X-Files, I remember as a child laying there and just watching that show and being like, damn. Like, when it was still on TV. That was the shit. Okay?
Yeah, it's a great show.
I have the entire collector set on Blu-ray.
Okay,
I'll have
listen. I got the entire collector set, okay?
Yeah.
But no, they...
I love how they put a spot here on Wiki, like, ethical concerns
I know.
That we may have. OSHA may be called.
Yeah, right, like, right. Like, they're going to show up and be like, listen, there's this weird...
So listen, you guys can't drug people on LSD and try to make them murder a bunch of people.
So look, this is a gray area. I know.
We understand the communists. We get it. And we need to be patriotic. But, you know, hey.
So you have 5 prostitutes in here. You're only actually legally allowed to have 2. So if you could just get rid of the 3, we'll be solid.
This is literally the CIA creating a brothel across the United States of people that they were trying to manipulate to commit a bunch of heinous crimes.
Well, okay, so here's a great example of the government, I feel like, trying to put out this PSA, like, we're protecting you guys from the CIA.
We're sorry.
Don't worry. No, this is before the operations even started. 1947, the CIA was so-called prohibited on behalf of President Truman from spying on American citizens due to fears of political abuse. That worked out wonderfully. and obviously every single one of the acts that they did in this operation were completely illegal.
And
completely
unconstitutional.
Not, yeah.
And
I mean, all of the above, right? All
and
of
mind
the above.
You, this is an agency that still exists to its fullest capacity today.
Well, and even, like, people that were working on this experiment, like, So think about the leaders of it, the people like Gottlieb that were in charge of it. That's one thing. And then you have like the minions that were like doing the day-to-day work.
Yeah.
Even the people doing the day-to-day.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that you're doing day-to-day. I'm just doing my job.
I'm just doing my job.
No, you're not. Because dude, you're watching standing, these people like suffer.
They were standing behind a two-way mirror filming this with like live porn in front of their face.
But what I'm saying, like, even if you were the guy that had to go pick up the prostitutes and drop them off, you're still involved.
You're still involved. 100%.
You're still a shitty person for letting it get to that point and not saying, I'm going to call.
Well, they would just
point.
Brainwash him by saying, hey, man, well, no, we need what you to do your was, patriotic duty.
What happened was, I believe in Frank Olson's position, was he kind of started to act not like, I think he was a little against what the CIA was doing in terms of like operatives with drugs and things like that. As a chemist himself, I think he knew the effects of things.
Yeah.
And he wasn't super into it. I forget the exact thing that kind of sparked his involvement, his involuntary involvement.
Yeah.
But they kind of just were like, no, this guy's bad news, so we're going to drag him into this. And he doesn't
have
Sidney a choice.
And Sidney Gottlieb was just
what
a psychopath.
Fucked up character he is. What an effed up character he is.
Dude, like, it's ridiculous the amount of shit that this guy was involved
in. What was
in.
Hitler's second-hand guy named? I swear to God it was Gottlieb, but I'm
man,
just...
No, it wasn't Gottlieb. Goebbels was the propaganda guy.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking
of. That
was
all the propaganda
That's that
shit.
G name I was thinking of. But yeah, either way. But yeah, oh, get this. Subjects of Gottlieb's experiments also included mentally disabled children.
Yeah, they would go and they, why do you think, like, that's why American Horror Stories sometimes, like, they give little Easter eggs like that.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time when everyone's like, oh my God, the mental help programs that were in throughout where everyone was getting, like, lobotomies and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time, those institutions were CIA run.
Right.
It was all experiments for the government. Like, we were aiding and abetting the government to do that. And what kills me the most is, again, all of these people, no one went to jail. No one lost their job. No one even got as much as a pay decrease for torturing, killing, and manipulating American citizens for decades.
Well, and that's just it. Like I said before, the program soon expanded and CIA operatives began dosing people in restaurants, bars, and beaches.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me that if you lived, which I have family members, obviously, like my parents were born in the 60s. My aunt was born at the end of the 50s. Like, you could have been in some just random restaurant. That's just crazy.
It's just
to me.
Funny to me that we're always concerned about being dosed up by like a predator, you know, like somebody like looking to kidnap you or, you know, rape somebody, God forbid, when in reality, that's also a concern, of course. But another concern is that your own government, who you've been believed or who you've been trained your whole life to respect and have patriotism and see that they're protecting you. Your own government could have dosed you with LSD, drug you to a safe house. Yes, did half the time and torture you.
But even if you go to the more innocent, not, I shouldn't say innocent, but even like the less like intense side of it, they're still like you and I could have been like teenagers at this point and go to get a milkshake and got drugged.
Yes. Yeah,
and just
wound
home,
up into a mental institution.
And just went home and was, or if we didn't, or it was just like on like a daily basis, we were like, man, I feel horrible. I feel like shit. And grow up thinking, yeah, when I was a teenager, I just used to get sick all the time. Yeah. It's like, no, they're dosing you with drugs.
I just don't understand how individuals out there could learn about this stuff and still have trust in the current government
today. Well,
that's
just it. So this is my thing. Again, back then there was a certain way about you that like...
Maybe ignorance a little
bit?
Well,
no, it's like this thing... Why? I can't think of the word. It's like you just needed to be buttoned up. You needed to be normal. And like there was a very specific way that families went about things and the way men acted, women acted, children acted. You never acted out of line.
Yeah.
And like it would never... Nowadays, obviously, it's a lot different. And if you have questions about the government and you don't want to go out to eat, it's not weird for you to grow your own food and just eat off your land. Like that's like... do you kind of thing. Back then, could you imagine in the 50s and the 60s if someone was like,
I don't trust the government.
We don't go out to eat. Like TV dinners were huge. Like everything was store-bought. If you said, I'm not going to, you know, you'd be an outcast.
You would be. Yeah.
You would be a total outcast. No one would want to be seen with you. Like, and yeah. that's the pressures of society. And that's why this was like the perfect storm for this experiment, because yeah. people were just had to like put on this air about him. If Frank Olson just said two words to his wife, help me.
Yeah.
Help me. Yeah. He didn't, because he was right. scared about what would happen, or he had this way that it was like men have to go to work and they'll go. I don't know what it was, but he didn't. He didn't say that. And it's just crazy to me that like, it's just wild.
It is wild. And, you know, when we're looking at this, I think a super interesting thing to think about is what the CIA was developing here is they realized the power of sex when it comes to manipulation, when it comes to getting people in a very vulnerable position, whether that was
a movie or something or a show. No, it's a movie on Netflix about this experiment. Because I saw a commercial for it. It has that Miles Teller guy in it. And it was like a thing where they took drugs, but it's like a voluntary thing. And they're behind a two-way mirror and they're having sex with people. Like, it's this whole thing. We'll have to find the name of that.
Yeah, if we can find that, that'd be interesting to watch. But they looked at the power of that, and including the manipulation. And then they also realized, hey, if we add in subliminal messaging, if we add in these drugs, imagine what they are doing today. With the technology today, they don't even have to give you drugs. Mm-mm. With social media, with the world
with
today,
pornography,
with pornography, like imagine just what they could funnel through
TikTok.
Pornography and TikTok and all of these things and the subliminal messaging that they can give you.
Well, I think it's crazy.
It's unbelievable,
like,
the potential there.
The Joe Rogan podcast or something. I mean, I'm not a fan. I watch clips every once in a while when they come up. But I'm just saying, like, they were talking about how in where TikTok was founded, which I think was China.
It is China.
So
yeah.
they have this algorithm there where they actually reward those kids that are posting about engineering and science and like winning like spelling bees and things like that.
Yeah.
Like very positive things for their country. They reward those videos, and that algorithm works in favor for them, because when you're scrolling through TikTok, you're seeing like these positive things and you're like wanting to be
Which
motivated. Kinda,
yeah, they're communist propaganda.
Well, but I'm saying, but then look at the United States side of things. What
yeah.
is the algorithm favoring? It's
Ass.
Favoring twerking, doing
yeah.
stupid fucking dances.
Yeah.
Just being just like doing stupid shit that's like mindless,
and
idiotic
stuff. And it's the same
stuff.
Thing on Instagram, on everything. It's.
But then we're creating a society of teenagers to young adults to, or and even children that,
yeah.
this is what they're looking up to. What a way to ruin a society. What
yeah.
a way to if you're going to infiltrate a society and just take it down.
Well, and let's be
what
honest,
a way to do it.
Let's be honest. They consistently target, although women are involved in this, but they consistently target men.
Yeah.
They target men with this. They target being a strong man in today's society, because they know that historically speaking, that is the group of people that you want to target. And
right.
they do it successfully. They make you weak. They,
well,
that's,
and
that's what this is designed to do.
We all know that feeling of like taking a break from social media, whether it's a day, a week, a month.
Yeah.
Taking a break from social media or just the internet in general as much as you can, and how much better you feel. Like I know
wake
recently,
up, dude.
I deleted Instagram and Facebook and all that. I've re-downloaded it since, and
yeah.
I feel like I'm more tired. I'm more distracted. I procrastinate a lot more. And a lot of that is personal issues, but it's also a control mechanism, because I don't get as much done because I'm scrolling.
Well, and I'm very hypocritical myself, because I am a social media influencer, if you will. My secondary income and my job is a YouTuber. I make gun videos, but I try to offset that with trying to tell people the truth in my videos, in this podcast, in what we do, to just be a little bit of light out there in this disgusting world that is social media. And you guys know I always hold integrity the number one thing in all of this content. And that's what I think, or I wish more influencers out there would do. You know, there's too much going on where all these influencers not only lie, but figure out ways to benefit off of
well,
this disgusting
algorithm. Well, here's a great example
algorithm.
Of that guy. I think he just got banned on a lot of platforms, but he is literally eating himself to death. He's
oh,
like
that dude.
He was just
yeah.
like he started as this skinny, like you know, 90 pound soaking wet kid.
Yeah.
And now he's like tripled, quadrupled
in
size.
That's one big psyop right
yeah,
there.
And it's like, you're making a ton of money off of disgusting portrayal of, and he literally, all he does in his videos is try to be as disgusting as possible and eat as much food as possible. And it's like, stuff like that where it's like, why?
Well,
why are you doing that?
And this is all to rope back around to tie it into Midnight Climax and MK Ultra and all of these things. Guys, the CIA in the 50s and 60s were doing this stuff and expertly manipulating the public. What they have at their disposal today is a non-stop propaganda nightmare box of control that is glued to your face at all times of the day. And not only are we having that, but we have it at a younger and younger and younger age. You know, me and Mary are kind of at that brink where we grew up with flip phones when we were like 10, you know, finally getting a phone, and it's a flip phone,
you
and
can
it,
just
it's
call,
you know,
maybe
you could
text
and maybe send a photo that looked like shit. And you know, we're witnessing this age where kids as young as 5 and 6 are being shoved a tablet saying, hey,
well,
go
no,
to town.
I actually have to shout out my friend Katie because we were talking about this the other day, and she made a really great point about why, like, kids younger, like, you know, everyone makes a joke like about girls like now in 5th, 6th, 7th grade, even 8th grade,
yeah,
how they look like they're like so much older. And I was like, man, when I was in 8th grade, I looked like some awkward teeny bopper, which I was. But they're doing it because they get to watch TikTok, they get to watch influencers, they get to watch these people that are 25 to 30 years old, and they're mimicking them.
Yes.
When I was a kid, my idol was Lizzie McGuire and That's So Raven and even Stevens, like all the stuff that was very innocent, very like, that was the stuff I was engaging with. And that just showed because it, whatever. We could go on and on, but let's get back to the subject at hand.
Yeah.
So talking about how kind of this all came to light. In 1974, the New York Times journalist Seymour Hersh published... Actually, that name sounds very familiar.
Yeah, it does.
I feel like we might have
touched on that in MK Ultra.
I was just going to say. He published a story, or she published a story. I don't know if
it's
they're...
It's a he.
Okay, he. Yeah. He published a story exposing the CIA's illegal spying on the U.S. citizens. Project MK Ultra came to light in the spring of 1977 during a wide-range survey of the CIA's Technical Services Division. So you're... Over 20 years later.
Yeah.
20 years. Insane.
Huge gap there.
Insane to me. They discovered that the agency was running a research project that included administering LSD and other drugs to unwilling humans, human subjects. And then the CIA FOIA request revealed a collection of documents from several news sources in the late 1970s reporting information on Operation Midnight Climax. The CIA never released most of the findings, and the information never went public. President Ford set up the Rockefeller Commission to investigate possible illegal activities being performed by the CIA. And I believe that was the same for MKUltra. The CIA was charged with various illegal activities, such as large-scale spying on American citizens, engaging in illegal wiretaps, and aiming their illegal activities at Americans who openly disagreed with the government.
And after that, they continued on to just... keep doing it.
Right. Ford signed an executive order in 1976 that prohibited, quote unquote, experimentation with drugs on human subjects except with their informed consent in writing and witnessed by a disinterested party of such human subject. So again, the whole we told them they can't do it anymore.
And then we changed the name of all the operations and kept doing it.
Or we made it even more secretive and learned from our mistakes on how this got out.
Hey, shout out to how savage journalists were, actual journalists of that time.
Back then.
Like, that would see this and stick it to the government, publish a story, and die for their story.
Yes.
I mean, like, that was journalism.
Yes.
Today, this is propaganda. Back then, those guys were savage.
Savage.
Absolutely,
I mean,
savage.
Like, quite, like you said, literally putting their life on the line.
Yeah. For the truth.
Crazy.
Like, they were essentially the early, quote-unquote,
well, Watergate,
CIA.
That was all a journalist that exposed that. If you've seen...
The conspiracy theorists of the real world,
if
you know.
Seen the movie with... I don't even know what his name is, from the 70s, and I with Woodward. And they're, like, all... They're these two journalists, and they were the ones that exposed Watergate.
I can't remember what movie that is.
All the President's Men. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Doug Hoffman, or I think that's his name. It's a great movie. But 1977, Senator Edward Kennedy conducted congressional hearings investigating MKUltra. Four subpoenas were issued, showed receipts signed by the former CIA employee for $52,100 bills that were distributed to persons involved in Operation Midnight Climax. Gottlieb's subpoena was subpoenaed, but decided not to testify. I got confused here. I thought subpoena meant you had to testify.
Well, generally, I believe it does, but... This is all a show. This, honestly, the only reason the fucking senators and presidents are doing all this bullshit is for their own political party. They can sit on their high horse and say, hey, I did this. And the CIA is just laughing, saying, I will sign this declaration.
Yeah.
And the dipshits in the populace are like, oh, wow, he saved us. We'll vote for him.
He did such a great job.
We're going to follow everyone into the slaughterhouse. I mean, like, people need to wake up, dude.
Of course, all of the paper records were destroyed somehow.
Didn't the journalist die as well?
I don't know.
Yeah,
they only talk about the one. They only talk about the one possible death being Frank Olson, who we already hit on.
Yeah.
But many agents claim that they could not remember details about it, and there were no records for Congress to verify, leading to no noted convictions for justice for the CIA individuals involved, as Joe mentioned. So because they didn't have any paper records. And basically all the CIA agents that actually spoke were like, yo, we don't remember, or I can't really recall, or I can't speak to that confidently. And they had no papers to go back and be like, but right here, you signed this document that said you were involved in XYZ experiment. Can you speak to that? They had none of that. So they had to just be like, okay.
I don't know how, like, I feel this way about the ATF, but also with the CIA, like, I don't know how, as a person today, you could strive to be a part of this agency. Like how people today that started like a citizen like you and me are now working for the CIA saying like, yeah, this is what I do. I'm proud. Like,
it's scary because I think it's one of those things where it's layers of it, right? Like, I think there's people, like, I don't want to just like totally write off every government employee and say they're all bad, because I think what happens
blind.
Is
they're all blind.
I think there's layers. Like, I think you get in there and you think you're doing your due diligence, you're working hard, and I think there's a lot of employees that never even get to that part of it.
Yeah.
And they are legit good employees, and they work their ass off, and they're just trying to get money for their family and a good pension and whatever it is. I do believe that there are people like that, and I think there are layers to it. So I don't want to write off everybody, but it's like a lot of it is just, it's hard to see. How would you know about this and want to do that? I don't know. It's hard. But then again, it's very easy to be blinded if you have family members that did it. If you have close relatives.
If you feel truly like you're saving
the
country.
What if you meet someone you fall in love with that's like in the CIA? Who knows? Like,
well,
who,
notice every movie that ever includes something about the CIA, they're like super spy superheroes.
Right,
you know, that are like these crazy, cool, tactical worlds. Like, what's that? The Tom Clancy movie with
James
Jim
Bond.
From The Office. The new one. It's a 13 show.
13 Hours?
No.
Jack something?
Jack or no.
Jack Ryan?
Maybe Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. One of the shows where he's a CIA person, I couldn't watch it anymore because it's just, he's a superhero. You know, he's this super spy who's like running around and saving the world. And it's all propaganda. It's all bullshit. Like, they don't have a show like that and then show him like drugging the populace and bringing him into a brothel and torturing him.
Well, the thing that kills me is that the Frank Olson... the man Frank Olson that we were talking about, his family sued the government for wrongful death and were awarded $750,000 in a settlement, as well as personal apologies from President Ford. There was, and the CIA director at the time, William Colby. There was this whole press conference, everything. I think this was in the 70s at the time. So $750,000 for something that probably cost the American citizens like
millions,
probably billions of dollars, because it's probably still going on.
Yeah.
So you're telling, like, and watch the documentary because it's just so interesting to me. But it's like, that was the only settlement that came out of this.
Yeah.
Is that Frank Olson settlement?
100%.
And that was only because I believe that there was a few journalists involved in that, and his son, Frank Olson's son, like, just really just was, he spent his whole life, he threw his whole life away.
Yeah.
I mean, to really like concentrate on his father's wrongful death. And,
yeah.
you know, how it, many others? It, how many others?
It's a really messed up situation overall. So that, in a nutshell, is skimming the surface about Operation Midnight Climax. We talked about, we kind of, you know, got off on the rails one or two times, but I think all of that still relates back to the overall theme of Midnight Climax and what
manipulation,
what
abuse,
the government was
whatever.
Doing. Yeah, and, you know, the next episode may be another form of manipulation that we'll talk about. Who knows?
No, it has to be like a lighthearted one. We try to do every other. We try to do every other.
This is, it's interesting. I don't know. What do you want? You want to do Bigfoot or something?
No, I want to do time travel again.
You want to do time travel. Time travel. We could do one on how the lottery is designed to catch time travelers.
I didn't know that.
You do now.
Well, so. At the end of the day, we both agree that this is, we actually have the same opinions about this, obviously.
Yeah.
And that, you know, just stay aware. Just stay aware. Make sure you don't get sucked into too much of the social media, too much of this stuff. Like, don't let your life be controlled by something that, you know, get control of it.
Get outside and breathe.
Yeah,
and get away from electronic devices for a
minute. Force yourself to try new things. And, like, I know this sounds like, oh, like 15 things to try. But, like, it truly is, like, one of those things where it's, like, try to take a break from your phone for a week.
Yeah.
Do only calls and texts if you have to and see what happens. It'll be life-changing. It really will.
I completely agree. Yeah. Well, that is going to wrap up episode 24 of the Freedom.
You said 24?
24. Is this even 24?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
Well, of the Freedom Foil podcast. Check out those links down in the description, guys. It'll bring you to all this research. We always encourage you to read up on your own and form your own opinion. Thank you guys so much for listening, and stay tuned for another great episode coming soon.